Jalen Carter's draft season has not been the best. How does his pro day impact his draft stock? We'll discuss it next on the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast.
You are Locked On NFL Draft, your daily podcast covering the NFL Draft. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast, your daily podcast covering your favorite draft prospects, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. It's your boy, Damian Parson, always on the ones and twos. You can find me on Twitter at DP_NFL. I am one of the national scouts over at the Draft Network and your favorite and local running back guru. And we can't talk about championship things and rings without my guy, Keith Sanchez. And you can find him on Twitter at The Talent Code. Talk to him, Keith.
Locked On. What's up, man? This is Keith Sanchez, senior draft analyst with the Draft Network, man. And like Guy DP says, man, 2019 national champ. Yes, those LSU Tigers, man. But you know why we're here? We're here to talk championship level conversations around the NFL draft, philosophies, prospects, and just everything surrounding the NFL draft, man. And guess what, man? We have one of the biggest names in the entire draft, man. We're talking a little bit Jalen Carter coming off of his pro day, right off of the, you know, the tragic incident at Georgia. Then, you know, he had to leave the combine. Then you had his pro day, which was lackluster. DP, where are you with Jalen Carter right now in this draft process?
He's still a blue chip talent to me. Still a blue chip player, Keith. I think the you know, the report came out that he's not going to face jail time. He's going to get a year of community service and probation. And he's got to take a defensive driving course and stuff like that. And he pleaded no contest. So I think the legal matter should be, you know, taken care of from per the reports. I think the main thing with him, at the end of the day for me, Keith, you've been around these kids in these, you know, on campus, right? They're human beings. I truly believe that situation in January, which then compounded right before he took the podium. This is like 10 minutes before he was supposed to walk on the podium. The news broke that there was a warrant for his arrest. I feel like his mental might be a little messed up right now. And for good reason, you know?
Good reason. And so does that concern you at all? You're talking about his mental being messed up to what degree, though, right? Like what degree do you think his mental is messed up? Because now we're talking about a pro day, right? And we're talking about being at a pro day and, you know, all of the takes were that Jalen Carter was gassed, right? Or he was out of breath. He was, he wasn't in shape.
10 pounds heavier.
He couldn't finish the drill. So what does that mean for you, DP, right? How do you, because you said that, you know, his mental could be a little off. Like, where do you stand with that? Like, how do you, I guess, contextualize or compartmentalize it for you and still be like, okay, let's take him with a top five pick?
Well, for those who are listening, like, I have a background working in mental health. So, like, I'm always going to be someone that looks at it from a different spectrum than a lot of other people. So for me, Keith, to answer your question, it doesn't concern me really too much at all. More so because it's like, all right, this is just some tragic incidents, right? Like, there's drag racing, he's in a whole different car, but I'm pretty sure he saw the accident happen, right? Where his starting right tackle's in the car, one of his backup offensive linemen in the car, and a young woman who was driving the car. Like that, like to see that and know that people died in that accident, I wouldn't be surprised that it really hit him hard. You know what I mean? Like, from a mental standpoint, it's like, man, because then you get to the point where, you know, as humans, we start blaming ourselves for stuff that we shouldn't, right? Like, he wasn't driving the vehicle. He didn't tell them to drive. Like, you know, he didn't force them to drive, right? So I think, like, that could be part of it. You know, I think he's just got to get past this stage, right? This stage of what he's going through. Get past it, get closer to the draft, and get yourself back into the right mindset, right, to really perform at the way that you've done for the past 2 years.
Okay, now I agree with that, and I appreciate that conversation. But at some point, we have to outline the timeline, right? And let's go kind of from the beginning of this, right off of the end of the college football season, right? Todd McShay got on ESPN and said that there was some character concerns, right? Then he was killed, right? Like Todd McShay, well, I don't use killed in this context, right. But, you know, people got after him on Twitter for saying that Jalen Carter had character concerns, right? Then there were other rumblings about Jalen Carter's character concerns, right? Mm-hmm. Then came the combine where, you know, he was arrested, wasn't necessarily truthful with the police, and then, you know, that situation arose. Then you have, now you have the pro day where, you know, he's out of shape, 10 pounds heavier, XYZ. So it's a timeline, a timeline of things, DP. And at what point do you say, hey, where there's smoke, there may be fire? And the reason I'm asking that is because of this. We've just seen one of the superstars in the NBA, Ja Morant, right? Mm-hmm. Where he's taking, I don't even want to call it a downward spiral, but he's taking a couple actions that were just weren't good decisions, right? And it's cost him millions of dollars. It cost him some reputation as far as his character and things like that. And to be honest, right, it affected the team. It affected the Memphis Grizzlies. It's probably going to affect their playoff standings. And who knows what happens into the playoffs, right, if the Grizzlies go into the playoffs. So my question is this, DP, is that with Jalen Carter, is there smoke, there's fire? Do you need to acknowledge anything? Because it just, to me, is like, there are too many minor things, and I just hope that this minor thing doesn't turn into a big thing.
No, that's a great pivot. I think, no, it's definitely a situation where you got to do your full research behind the scenes on him. And what you know more than anybody, you know, Keith, meeting the person and talking to, getting to know who Jalen Carter actually is, right? You know what I mean? To where it's like, okay, yeah, get to know the man so that you make an informed decision as your NFL team, that you're not sitting there like, okay, he's a blue chip player, you know, and we've seen it with the NFL. Like, they'll take whoever, you know what I mean? Like, if you can ball, definitely. You can ball. They don't care a lot of times. But for a PR standpoint and just for a longevity standpoint, right, this kid has the potential to be one of the best interior defensive linemen in the NFL. He's got that type of skill set. Tape is dominant, and he's still young and learning the game. So you want to have that investment of drafting him top 10 or top 5 or wherever, you know, wherever you want to select him. You want to make sure you're making an investment on somebody that you can have post year 4 or 5 and going forward, right? You want to make sure he's the right guy for your team and for your locker room. So I think that's where teams have to really do that due diligence. Meet with this kid, bring him in. If you're a team in that top 10 and know that you have a real shot at him, bring him in for a private workout. Work him out, right? But then you got to sit him down and grill him like, man, what happened? Right, because at the end of the day, you got to explain as Jalen Carter why you were 10 pounds heavier, why you were gassed, why you lied to the police. Like, explain yourself, and when you do that and take that accountability, that shows grown man mentality.
Yeah, and so to our listeners, why does character matter, right? And you know, when I was working at LSU, obviously NFL scouts, and just so they kind of understand, NFL scouts come in the building all the time. They don't just show up for pro day, they're there all the time. Like once it's mm-hmm. is their period of time to come scouting, they're there every week, right? Every week it's 10, 15, 20 scouts because they're coming to get information on players and things like that. So I had the opportunity to talk to a scout, and you know, they were big on character, right? And he was just like, man, nah, I can't have any character misses. I can't do that. I have to know everything about a player. And I'm like, what? I don't understand. Like, they're grown men now, right? Like, why is it that big of a deal? And he was explaining to me. He said, listen, whatever your flaws are, like, you got to think, I'm going to give you $20 million. So if we're not even talking flaws, right, we're just talking habits. Well, guess what, man? If you like to eat steaks and then I hand you $20 million, you're going to eat a lot more steaks, right? Or you're going to eat better quality steaks. So you transition that into bad qualities. You know, what are you going to do once I hand you $20 million? And then just the structure of college, right? In college, there's always something for those guys to do. They always have study hall. They always have some sort of practice. They always have, you know, some meeting to go to, some film session, right? Like, that's required, and it's something that you have to do in college football, to keep you occupied. Now, the NFL is structured to where, guess what, man? We have you from August to January, and then the other 6 months, completely up to whatever the hell you want to do, plus this $20 million, and plus you're on your own, and plus you're 21, 22 years old. So I think that's why, you know, if everybody's wondering, like, man, okay, the Jalen Carter situation with the character, why is it getting beat up, or why is everyone talking about it, is because there's just so much more downtime or time away from the building, and that they're trusting you with $20 million to make right decisions. And we know this, right, from the Henry Ruggs situation. And I think That's why, not to compare the two, right? But
yeah,
it some of it is similar in the sense of the fact of, you know, could possibly been have drinking, right? Or whatever was going on. But at the core part of it was young guys getting in fast cars, going really fast, and then somebody end up dead, right? And then now you talk about draft compensation. Henry Ruggs was a first-round pick for the Las Vegas Raiders. So you lost on that first-round pick. So that's why you want to get it right, because while Jalen Carter is a blue-chip prospect, your blue-chip prospect, you want him to be there, right? You don't want to draft a blue-chip prospect that's not there. So, but I just thought it was a good conversation, man, for us to have, and especially for our listeners to kind of walk through this, because this is going to be polarizing, right? We've seen Jalen Carter go number one in mock drafts, and we've seen him go as low as 25. So I think that I don't think it's going to go anywhere, DP, because I think scouts are going to continue to dig. They're going to continue to get after it and try to really figure out, because for us, we've graded him. He's one of three only blue chip prospects.
Yes.
One of only three. There's only three of them that we feel like are blue chip prospects in this class, rare talents. But at some point, where does that bump up against, you know, what potentially off the field?
He's got to own it. He's got to talk about it. If, like I said, if you saw the accident and it traumatized you, cool, speak on that, right? Like, you got, you know what I mean? So that may have really kind of taken you off your game. At the end of the day, Jalen Carter, you meet these teams, you got to own it and hold yourself accountable, man.
No, I agree. Listen, man, we had a good conversation around Jalen Carter. I think it was a conversation that needed to be had, and we'll probably have another one sometime in the future as things get closer to the draft and unfold. But, man, we're about to turn this thing up a little bit, DP. We have this or that, man. We have Jalin Hyatt versus Trey Palmer. Yes, we're going speed on speed. We're going burner on burner, man. We're going 4-3 on 4-3 speed. So coming up next, man, we're talking Jalin Hyatt versus Trey Palmer. Who will we take and what we think is the threshold for each player?
What is the number one sports book in America? FanDuel. And if you are a new customer to the company, great news for you, because you get a chance at no sweat first bet up to $1,000 as bonus bets back if your first bet does not win. All you have to do is download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, and super easy to use, guys. You can bet on everything from money line, point scores, and threes drained. Football, basketball, you name it, especially for basketball bets. Like I say, spreads, money lines, player props, exclusive bets, all of it. And then FanDuel lets you to combine your bets at a bigger chance for a bigger payout with the same game parlay. So don't miss the chance to get your no sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/lockedon. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel. This or that, Keith. That's where we at with it, baby. One of our new fun segments, man. This or that. Keith, we were down in Indianapolis at the combine, and all the talk when it came down to the 40-yard dash was Jalin Hyatt, wide receiver, Biletnikoff winner, whether I agree with it or not. Biletnikoff winner, which is a top receiver in college football, right? The speed demon himself from Tennessee. But there was a guy that ran faster than him, Keith. One of your boys. One of my guys, man. One of your guys. Trey Palmer.
Man, we produce athletes down here in Louisiana in the boot, baby. That's what we do, man. Trey Palmer,
yes, sir.
I believe he ran a 4.33, I believe, man. So fastest wide receiver at the NFL Combine. Mm-hmm. And then you have Jalin Hyatt. And the reason that we decided to do the this or that segment is because this. Both guys were promoted as speed guys, right? When you watch the film, both guys, they have very similar attributes as far as, you know, what they do. They run a lot of vertical routes, right? They're guys that they track the ball well deep down the field. And then there are some nuanced things as far as working underneath, hands, stuff like that, that they need to improve on. But, you know, NFL community or the draft community as of now feel like there's a big separation / gap. So,
yep.
In this or that segment, we're going to compare these guys. We're going to talk about, hey, would you rather Jalin Hyatt in the second round, or would you rather Trey Palmer in the late third round? So I'm going to put it fairly close, because I feel like if I put them too spread out, then I know exactly where you're going to go easily. But I want to put it more close together, because would you pass up on Jalin Hyatt in the second to go get Trey Palmer in the third?
Yes, I would take – and then Jalin Hyatt would be this – and Trey Palmer is that. I'm going to take that, Keith. I want to have the best bang for my buck. Like I said, it's only a round. In this scenario, it's only a round that's missing, right? But I'm getting a – they weighed it. They were the same height, 6 foot, you know, He's close to the 6'1", 6 foot. Yeah. But Jalen Hyde came at 176. I believe that Trey Palmer came at 192. So that's probably a 15, 16-pound difference in terms of weight. But Jalen Hyde ran a 4.41, which is still blazing fast. It's still a fast time, guys. But then you see Trey Palmer run the time that we expected Jalen Hyatt to run. And for me, Keith, I've said it multiple times, Jalen Hyatt's game is too one-trick pony-ish to where – and it was such an easy way to get his production. That's what I said. Production doesn't travel to the league, guys. Production is fluff in terms of how the NFL – how the offensive-minded coach or offensive coordinator schemes things up. Ton of free releases, get him matched up outside the numbers as a slot receiver, which you typically don't see. And then he ran a lot of his routes on air, essentially like a pro day, with just that test dummy being the high safety who's tasked to try and catch keep up with him once he got rolling.
Man, I felt bad for the safeties. Like, you're talking about being in a horrible position. That, let me tell you something to our listeners, man. There's no worse position on a football field to be in than that safety that's sitting 12, 15 yards off the ball, and you have nobody in collision, no, flat-footed, and nobody collision your wide receiver, and he can go left, he can go right, or he can simply push vertical. That is the worst position to be put in, and Jalen Hyde had the benefit in this Tennessee offense to be able to put defensive backs in that position time and time again.
Rarely pressed, you know, really didn't run a wide variety of routes, and I don't see a guy that's going to give you a ton of yak outside of when he has the free space. But then when I look at a Trey Palmer, a guy who's faster, he's bigger, I believe his contact balance is much better, stronger, play strength is better. You know, he has some drops and whatnot, so that's something that he has to clean up. But a guy that can give you the exact same bang for your buck in terms of what he can do for your offense, right? A running team, you get them in a single high, you isolate him one-on-one, let that 4-3 speed take over. Crossing routes, you know, explosive horizontal routes, you can get that for both. So I'd rather get it from Trey Palmer in the third.
Right, okay, now I'm about to squeeze this. I'm about to put you right there. I'm about to put you on the spot, DP. Who do you like better than? Because it seems like the way you're talking, man, you're leaning Trey Palmer a little bit. So I'm about to ask you, who do you like better, Trey Palmer or Jalen Hyatt?
I like Trey Palmer. You know, I guess I feel like there's more run after catch opportunities with him, a guy that can fight through contact better, a guy that has seen press coverage and understands how to an extent, know how to – he's still raw in his game a little bit, Keith. You know, I'll be honest with you. He's still a raw player, but I don't think he's as raw as Hyatt. You know, where Hyatt had not seen press. And when guys did – when guys – like I think the Georgia game, they would walk down a safety or a corner and try to restrict him. And when they got hands on him, Keith, it was almost wraps for him. He couldn't fight through it, couldn't work through it, right? He didn't have the footwork, the hand strength, just the play strength in general to fight through. So I'd rather have the bigger, crazy enough, the bigger frame but the faster player in a round less. Let me get Trey Palmer.
Yeah, so where I stand with this, I agree. I'd rather the this or that part, I'd rather the that, right? Now, that being Trey Palmer. And let's be honest, right? The skill set in the NFL – that both of these guys are going to have to develop to become reliable, even number twos, right? At this point, they're very specific in usage in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Means these are going to be, they're going to be special. These are going to be your dial them up, take your shot plays. So these are the guys who's going to run your skinny posts, your posts, probably your post corners, things like that, where it's going to be very specific in what you do with them. So I think that's the thing. You have to put both of these guys in a box. So I think talking to our listeners, right, it's more so about understanding who Jalen Hyde is and then also understanding that Trey Palmer probably offers you very similar things. So even when y'all doing, you know, your mock drafts, you're in the mock draft machine, things like that, you could get good value with finding Trey Palmer in the fourth round versus, hey, having to possibly take Jalen Hyatt still in some mocks in the first round, right?
First or round.
Even early second, you can get some of that same value with Trey Palmer. So I think it was a very good comparison. And, you know, listen, that's the type of content we try to produce, right? Try to give y'all guys, we put eyes on the prospects and give y'all our perspective and our insight when you take into every testing point, right? Like you watch the film, then you do the combine, then you have pro day. So after every part, you know, we try to come back with more information. And the information says that this man, Trey Palmer, is just as fast as Jalen Hyatt. And I think it's on film and it was at the NFL combine. But DP, man, talking about Dame's dudes, man. We're talking about Dame's dudes. We have Dame's dudes coming up next, man. but we're talking cornerback position. Yes, y'all thought my guy was strictly running backs. He's switching over to those cornerbacks, man. We're going to talk some DB play. So coming up next, man, we have Dame Dude's Cornerback Edition.
Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, Keith, and it's made of 100% real chocolate, and that's what gives it the flavor that it has. And we have a variety of flavors, you know, with this company. And for guys, if you can't get a full meal, you're on the go, you're on the run, you just need something that's going to hold you over. You want to really look at and give a try to Built Bar. I promise you, it won't fail you. 17 grams of protein. You don't have to worry about all the fats and carbs and calories and the things you don't want in your body. And if you want to test it out in a small variety, you can go to your local Walmart, go to the pharmacy section, right, and get a 4-bar box of Built Bar. But if you already tried it and you want the bigger box, you can go to your local Sam's Club, get a 13-bar box of variety of flavors. But at the end of the day, if you just want to get some percentage off, if we can help you with that, go to builtbar.com and use our promo code LOCKEDON15, and you'll get 15% off your next order. Dame's Dudes, cornerback edition. I'm going to get right into it, Keith. I'm going to tell you three cornerbacks that are my guys in this class right now. And I'm going to start with a name that we've talked about before. And I want to continue to give him some love. Right in my backyard, right in South Carolina. Not Cam Smith, Darius Rush. You know, big, tall, got good arm length, but explosive. You know, a guy that showed the eye discipline to know how to read the hips of receivers and stay in the hip pocket, stay patient, and almost – run the routes for the receiver, especially down at the Senior Bowl, man. He had a great week. And then he went to the combine and showed up where there. I think he's still, you know, from a rodent standpoint, you still got to, you know, work with him some with his technique and his footwork at times. But overall, for me, he's one of my dudes because I like the physical makeup, right? But the athleticism he has and the ability to literally cover any type of receiver, in my honest opinion, he could take vertical guys vertical and stay stride for stride, hip for hip. But he also kind of mirror and match those kind of twitchy route runners, as well as match up well with those big body receivers. Keith, my second guy at the cornerback position, Rajon Wright, you know, out of Oregon State, man, another tall, long, high hip corner. But for a tall corner such as himself, I came away really impressed when I watched him on tape. His technique, right, the kick steps, the kick slides in coverage, the ability to really stay square, and you know how to use his punches and his arm length, right, at his disposal as an advantage, right, to be able to press guys soft, don't have to get super physical, nice soft jam, stay within the hip pocket and stay close by in what we call being standing phase, where you're right in the vicinity of the receiver and staying into the play. And Keith, I was trying to stay away from the big names. I wanted to stay away from the big names, but I got to give love to my guy Julius Brents down at K-State, man. You know, big, long, he can run. He shows good athleticism. And another guy who's – Keith, he's arguably had one of, if not the best draft cycles of any player in this class, man. You know, yeah. Come into Mobile, be dominant down there, test well at the combine, crazy arms, you know, arm length and wingspan – all of the, and then he has that dog mentality where he wants to be the guy. He wants to cover the guy. And those type of dudes, when you're a dude like that, you get on the list called Dame's Dudes, Keith.
So look, man, quickly going through the three, man, your number one guy, you stole him, man. You stole him from me, man. Darius Rush, man. But that, listen, I'm stamping that because coming soon, man, we have a Coach K, Keith Sanchez, key prospects coming up, man. He's going to be featured on there too, man, because you're talking about a hell of a player, like a guy that was relatively unknown. And shout out to Jim Nagy and that scouting staff, right, for bringing this guy in, because everyone knew of the opposing cornerback, Cam Smith, for South Carolina. But I'm watching Darius Rush in one-on-ones, and, man, I seen hips, I seen feet, I seen vertical speed, I seen ball skills, and I said, Coach, we got us one. Coach, we got us one, man. This is a cornerback right here, man. This is a guy, I think, DP, if you ask me, he's probably going to go somewhere in I would take him end of the second round because he checks that many boxes for me, but he's probably going to go in the third round from whatever the draft hype around him is. But, man, extremely competitive player. So, man, I approve of the Darius Rush. I like the Darius Rush one. Rajon Wright, I have to get to Rajon Wright. And Julius Brents, man, finishing off with Kansas State cornerback Julius Brents. This is going to be a very intriguing prospect because for me, DP, he is right on the fringe of me feeling like he can play man-to-man every single down and me feeling like he's more of a cover three guy. He's a guy that I'm going to have to revisit once again because on film, I thought that he was more of a cover three guy. In Mobile, he showed well in man-to-man. And, you know, some look, we got to make a decision, right? So I'm going to have to make a decision before the draft on how I feel about Julius Brents. Obviously, I think he's an extremely talented football player, but just, you know, painting the proper picture for Julius Brents. But I do like him as a prospect. Ceiling is through the roof. This is a potential, you know, you talk about Sauce Gardner can jump on the scene and become Defensive Rookie of the Year. I think this is a potential, you know, top 3 to 5 corner in this class when we look at it 5 years down the line.
Keith, I'll tell you one thing I wrote down, excuse me, about Julius Brents. Due to his style of play and his physical makeup, he's a window closer. He's a window closer, man. You talking about quarterbacks, we always talking about throwing lanes and throwing windows. You got to be careful with him because he'll close the window on you and where you can't get the ball in, but he's going to take the ball out. He's going to take the ball from you. So he closes those throwing lanes and those throwing windows because of his length. You talking about sitting in the – if he's sitting in that kind of cover two or that half man in cover three and you want to get that whole shot over the top, you better put an arc on that thing, baby, because if you don't, he's got the leaping ability and the length to go up and get the ball. I will throw out one more name, Keith. Coming into the season, I tabbed him as one of the most physical corners in this class. But then Devin Witherspoon showed up and took that title from him. But it's my guy, Garrett Williams, down in Syracuse, 5'10", almost 200 pounds, a feisty corner that plays good man-to-man, but a guy that will come up and run, hit, you know, hitting the run game, right? Run support, squeeze, and leverage the ball and make sure he's a true edge, force defender off the edge, off the perimeter. I really like him. I think he can play inside and out. Good footwork. A guy that can run with a lot of guys as well. He just tore his ACL in October, so I don't believe he was able to test this draft cycle. But I think a team is going to get a steal with this young man because he's smart, good instincts. Ball skills are pretty good as well, but you can't teach the desire to tackle. It's like playing defense in the NBA, man. It's either you want to or you don't. And you can tell the people that don't. So it's as clear as it comes, Keith. But as always, man, we definitely want to thank everybody for making Locked On NFL Draft your first listen today. Please go subscribe or follow for free the podcast on YouTube or wherever you listen to podcasts to get the latest episode as soon as it's available. Again, you know, thank y'all for making us the first listen of your day. Tomorrow, come back with us because we're going to have more to talk about for Keith Sanchez. You can find him on Twitter at TheTalentCode. I'm Damian Parson, DP_NFL. Come and join the conversation again tomorrow on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.